Why do Christians think they have to ignore what the Bible says about not knowing the day or hour? And what is so special about the date of September 23rd?
Research that he's done on an astronomical alignment, signs in the heavens, that seem to point to something significant happening on September 23rd, 2017.
I never predicted when the rapture is going to happen. I'm not a date setter. I'm showing you patterns and fulfillments, a very likely fulfillment of Revelation 12.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. On today's broadcast, Jan meets with Billy Crone from Pastor Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. Pastor Crone's here to talk about a current hot topic on the internet, September 23rd. What's so significant about September 23rd? Well, stay with us and find out. You'll be surprised to hear. Later in this hour, Jill Martin Rishi and Eric Barger join Jan to discuss the evil that's permeating our world. Insight and encouragement, all yours on today's program. So let's begin. Here is Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program. I'm so glad you could join me this weekend. Some people are calling what's going to happen on September 23rd, 2017, the Great Sign, and it's based on Revelation 12. Now, it's the hottest sign trending on Google, one of the most searched for issues on Google right now. The YouTubes explaining this phenomenon are legion, and most are well-meaning, and many are not even sensational. They're just trying to explain it. Is the sign that is to appear in the sky around September 23rd really just a once-in-a-7,000-year experience? And is it a sign from God? Well, the familiar voice of Pastor Billy Crone joins me to unpack this in my first segment. He's pastor of Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas, frequent guest here. Pastor Billy Crone, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan. It's always a pleasure to be on.
Listen, Billy, I get emails many times a week that based on this sign suggesting that the rapture and the tribulation will take place on or before September 23rd, 2017. What also plays into this is Rosh Hashanah is 2 days before September 20th, 21st, 22nd. And all of this is referring to an interesting, intriguing passage of Scripture, Revelation 12. Why don't you explain this short passage and then let's kind of unpack it.
Yeah, Revelation 12, basically, unfortunately, what folks do is they take Revelation 12 and they don't even deal with the whole context. They just take a couple verses out of context, and this is where it comes. But basically, they deal primarily with the first two verses, and I'll just read it real quick. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. And she was pregnant, and she cried out in pain, and she was about to give birth. Some sources would skip verses 3 and 4, and you understand why after, you know, they do that. But verse 5, they pick it up again, and then they say, and she gave birth to a son, a male child, etc., etc., and her child was snatched up to God to his throne. They say, well, there it is. That's the rapture, being snatched up to his throne. And basically, the premise, what they want to do, completely out of context, is they want to say that this woman is an astrological sign in the heaven. That's the constellation Virgo. You know, it's a woman constellation. And that this particular date, somebody supposedly discovered on September 23rd, 2017, Virgo, this supposed woman from Revelation 12, is going to have the sun clothing her in a position. The moon will be under her feet, that constellation Virgo, and you're going to see 12 stars appear on her head. And it's going to happen exactly and precisely on that date, September 23rd, 17. And they say this, they throw this out there. And this, it's so unique, it only happens once in every 7,000 years. And then you put that with verse 5, why, surely this has got to be speaking of the rapture or some other thing. And the problem with that is, number one, you're violating the Scripture. Number one, the Scripture is about as clear as you can get. The Bible repeatedly states you don't set a date. And I call it a cardinal rule. There's certain things that you don't mess with in the Scripture, certain teachings and truths, certainly. You don't mess with the virgin birth. You don't mess with the resurrection. And guess what? You don't set a date for the return of Christ. I mean, how much clearer does the Bible have to get than that? I don't care how nifty you are with it, math or a calculator. I don't care how nifty you are at looking up in the sky in the constellation.
Let's look at a couple of other things, too, that are equally important. One is, this passage is a past event. It's not future, correct?
Exactly. And that's why I said they ripped it out of context. It's not even what the passage is talking about. Anybody could check this out themselves. If you read Revelation 12, the woman that's there is not talking about Virgo. It's not even talking about an astrological sign. Okay? The woman is defined by the text, by God, as Israel. And that's easy to demonstrate there. When it says a woman clothed with the sun, verse 1, moon under her feet, 12 stars, a crown on her head, that's almost a complete direct quote from Genesis 37, verse 9, that is clearly from the Bible speaking about Israel. The woman is defined in this text by God Israel. It has nothing to do with the church. And then, as far as it's her being pregnant and gives birth to a child, they're talking about the first coming of Jesus, that Israel gave birth to Jesus, the Messiah, and the snatching away into heaven, the child, Jesus. Okay, that's talking about his ascension. The birth of Jesus, his first coming, and his ascension into heaven at the right hand of the Father, that's a past event. So here you're saying it's about this constellation. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with the church. It's Israel, and it's an event that's already passed. That's well established.
Yeah, I'm troubled by the use of astrology. Scripture is extremely careful about warning us against using signs in the heavens like this. I do think there are also legitimate signs in the heavens that are end time signs. We've got some activity going on during Armageddon, and the moon is going to turn red, etc., and I don't have issues with that, but I do have issues when we start resorting to astrological signs.
Well, and that's a great point. I bring that up too, Jan, too. It's like, you got a conundrum here. You're sitting here, and you're trying to say that this has a biblical reference to the church, and it doesn't. It doesn't fit the context. But in order to come up with this supposed unique thing, you're using astrology. God condemns astrology. Why would God use something he condemns? You can't have your cake and eat it too. Okay, and you're right. When the Bible does talk about signs in the sky. This is a great sign from Jesus, Luke 21. But those signs are not being derived by astrological means, something that God condemns. He's talking about, certainly, Revelation 16. We know that the sun's going to get cranked up, so to speak. There's solar ect. We know in Revelation chapter 8, the second trumpet and the third trumpet, there's going to be an asteroid and a comet. Okay, we also know in Revelation 6 that the sky, sun's going to turn black like sackcloth and the moon blood red. Well, what's that? Well, that's volcanic activity after a huge, massive earthquake around the earth goes off in the sixth seal. And it's going to trigger all these earthquakes, and it's going to make the sun be black like sackcloth, and at night, the moon blood red. Those are the things in the sky we should be on the lookout for, not astrology.
I want to talk a little bit, too, about why there seems to be such passion about this particular date, and I want to get to that in just a moment or so. But you made me aware of the fact, I'm talking to Pastor Billy Crone for this segment. We're talking about one of the most searched for topics on Google, what's going to happen supposedly this September 23rd. Pastor Crone, apparently there is a computer program available that indicates this is not a once every 7,000 year experience, as many are saying.
Yeah.
It happened apparently in 2005. It's going to happen again in 2028. So this is not such a rare phenomenon after all. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, people can check that out for themselves. I've seen it with my own eyes. I probably played it at least a good half dozen times to take a look at this, because you can go to stellarium.org, and it's a free program that you can download, and you can punch in your dates and your time coordinates.
How do you spell that?
I believe it's STELLARIUM, stellarium.org, and I think they even have an app. You can do it on your phone, but I think they charge for that. But you can go to stellarium.org, and you can get this program. You can download it and punch in your coordinates, the dates, okay? And then you could watch it, the constellations move before your eyes. So you could check out to see if, in fact, this is a unique event. And when you look at it, and I'm not the only one that's done this, other people are starting to catch on to this. It's, with all due respect, a bunch of baloney, okay? It's not even a unique event, and certainly not once in every 7,000 years. It's actually a cyclical event. Mm-hmm. It happens approximately every 11 years. It's about as regular as you can get, okay? Mm-hmm. And so you do the math, and you can even go in Stellar and back it up. Around 2005, this supposed unique event happened back then. And Lord willing, it's going to happen again around 2028. There's nothing unique about this event. Somebody put this all together. They made some graphics. They threw it up on the internet. It sure looks intriguing, but when you put it to the test, it doesn't hold up.
Let's look at some downsides to all of this as well. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell, Pastor Billy Crone, Sunrise Baptist Church. On the phone with me, I've talked with Pastor Crone before about a lot of eschatological or end time issues. Talked about a number of his products that you can find a lot more information about at getalifemedia.com. Getalifemedia.com. We've had this happen many times. Billy, 88 Reasons Why Christ Returns in 1988. Harold Camping embarrassed all of us by date setting in 2011. I think he did that more than 1 year. did it several years. And there are tremendous consequences, particularly when people get sort of, if I can say bluntly, hyped up, enthused, because they're convinced that the person they're following, the teacher they're following, who's just set a date, is going to be right. Okay, the teacher's wrong. There's not only disappointment, sometimes there's worse than disappointment. I think in one case, there were even a couple of suicides. They were so disappointed when these things don't come to pass. And then people turn away from this topic as though we need more people turning away from eschatology, which the church 98% already has turned away from it. And then it's a horrible witness to the lost. So I'm sure you would agree with some of those issues that I have.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, call it the prophecy hangover, and people get all excited. They've literally liquidated their savings, yes, their bank accounts, their 401ks. They give it all away. They do whatever, and of course it doesn't happen, and they're distraught, and rightly so. But then even those who don't go into a financial crisis like that after those kind of decisions, there's people that are like, they're bummed out. And so they say, you know what? I'm just done with this prophecy stuff. It's a big letdown. And it's sad because it does not bear good fruit. It hurts people. It harms people in the church. And again, you're right, Jen. It's a bad witness to the lost. Hey, guess what? Whether we realize it or not, as Christians, we're on display. And then, as you said, this is one of the hottest topics on the whole internet. So now they're putting this out there for the whole world, including the lost to see. And sure enough, these events don't take place, and what does the world do? They laugh. We already have mockers and scoffers. This does not help anything. It makes us look like we don't even know what we're talking about. And for those of us who don't even buy into it, we get lumped into the whole mess.
Exactly. And that is what's so frustrating, Billy, is you and I get caught up somehow by those who are making these observations or by the wishful thinkers that we believe that this is going to happen as well. And something may happen end of September this year. I mean, it may be very, very significant. I think we can safely say the rapture is not going to happen on September 23rd because the minute we set a date, we've ruled that date out. But here's the thing. What happens 2 days before this event, September 20th, 21st, 22nd, and it depends here again, it's sundown, so it spans a couple of days, is the Jewish feast of Rosh Hashanah. And some have thought for a long time that the Lord is going to come back on one of the fall feasts, and Rosh Hashanah is certainly an option. So you've got that September 20th, 21st, 22nd. And then the next day, we have this phenomenon in the sky, this tremendous sign that people are pointing to as the sign of the age tied to Rosh Hashanah. And so they get doubly excited. Now, I'm glad they're excited about one of the feasts of the Lord, but they're using it inappropriately.
Yeah, first of all, they're violating the scripture. You shouldn't set a date. Number two, the basis for this whole date that they set is a violation of the scripture itself. It's not about the church. It's about Israel. It's not about astrology, et cetera, et cetera. So two for two, it's not going to work. And also, I think it's not a blessing to the body of Christ. It's a burden because people are getting ripped off of the blessings of imminency today. I don't need a September 23rd date to get me excited about Christ's return. I don't need the month of September. I don't need anything. Guess what? The rapture is imminent. It can happen today. That's my joy. I long for his appearing now. I don't have to have something ramp me up in the future down the road and then set me up for the downfall when it doesn't take place. I can get excited every day, however many days I got left. It could happen today. That's where my joy and excitement. And when people set dates, I don't care how, again, nifty or the calculator, whatever it is, in your theory, whatever, you are delaying people's blessing for the truth of imminency.
I'm not sure everyone knows exactly what imminency is, Billy Crone, and we've tried to explain it here. I think a simple definition of imminency is it can happen at any minute. It can happen at any moment. In other words, as the theme of the New Testament is perhaps today, the Lord can return perhaps today. We don't have to wait until the fall feast. Now, it may end up being on the fall feast days, one of them, but the sentiment of the Bible is it can be today, and that's what imminency is all about, and that's what great teachers like Tim LaHaye and others always try to stress and inform that, look, it can happen before this broadcast ends. The trumpet can sound, and the dead in Christ are raised first, and then the rest of us who have our faith in Jesus Christ go after the dead in Christ are raised. It can happen in an instant. Many are waiting now for September 23rd.
Well, exactly, and when you could get excited today. And you should be excited today because it could happen today. And again, that's why I say I think people are getting, if you will, ripped off on the blessings of that. And because also with imminency, it's not just, woohoo, get excited that because when the rapture happens, where do we go? We go to heaven. Praise God. That's awesome. That's exciting. And it could happen today. So today's full of excitement. But also knowing that the Lord could return at any time, there's a cleansing benefit that it does. It also has a fantastic way of getting rid of procrastination, right?
Right.
See, if I don't think it's going to happen until September or pick a month, pick a whatever, then you know our flesh. You know, we have a tendency, well, I can, you know, kind of slack off a little bit, or I'll do that later, or I'll go witness to that person later. No, no, no. When you realize that the rapture is imminent, it could happen at any moment, including right now today. I don't have time to goof off in my walk with Jesus. I don't have time to procrastinate sharing the gospel to my loved one, my friend, my coworker. I've got to do it now. Today could be my last day. And those are great motivational tools that people are being robbed when other people set a date down the road.
Just with a few minutes left, and you got some products that outline the true signs of the times, but what should people be looking for?
We just are putting out a new resource. We have our Bible prophecy studies that like 86 hours now on signs of the times is our final countdown studies. And through those signs, we hit the big 10 ones, the Jewish people, modern technology, worldwide upheaval, which would include your earthquakes, famines, pestilence, and also signs in the sky, the rise of falsehood, the rise of wickedness, the rise of apostasy, a one-world religion, one-world government, one-world economy, and the mark of the beast. We have those on video, but we're also getting ready to release in book format and Bible study format a new resource called the Final Countdown, Volume 1, and Lord willing, there'll be a Volume 2. And getting people equipped with what does it mean with signs in the sky? And again, the signs in the sky, according to the Scripture, the things that we should be out looking for are not the constellation Virgo or Leo or whatever you want to mishmash together. You're to be looking out, hey, do we see any solar activity beginning to change? Because we know it's going to get heated up in the seven-year tribulation. Do we see any signs of asteroids getting ready to impact the Earth? Because we know that's going to happen, as well as comets. Do we see any signs of earthquakes and volcanic activity creating a massive smoke screen, if you will, in the sky that's going to blacken out the sun and have the effects on the moon? Those are the signs the Scripture talks about. Are those increasing? Yes, they are. Now, we don't know the day nor the hour, but if we see those signs increasing in the sky, then it's getting close. And that's the axiom there. I can't say, and it's going to happen September 23rd, or it's going to happen next week. I don't know. All I know, it's good to look at signs, but the signs don't tell you the date. The signs only tell you the season.
The season.
They only tell you it's getting close.
Yeah, and so many of those signs actually culminate in the tribulation. Of course, the church is not in the tribulation. There are believers in the tribulation, but the church is taken out before that time. But the stage is being set as we speak. The signs, there's stage-setting signs that are going on, and we're beginning to see some of the things you just talked about early stages, and they could come into complete fulfillment in the very near future. But I believe the church will be gone at that climactic time.
Exactly. And again, that's just another easy thing to demonstrate in this text again with Revelation 12. It has nothing to do with the church. You know, you got the identity wrong. It's Israel, defined by the text. But you got the timing wrong.
Timing.
You're talking about a past event, number one. And if you keep reading the rest of the passage, which they don't include, and now you know why, because it talks about the halfway point of the seven-year tribulation when Satan, the dragon, goes after the woman Israel for 1,260 days. No wonder you don't put that in there, because that's in the seven-year tribulation, which the church is not a part of.
Yeah. Well, folks, you can learn a lot more at Pastor Billy Crone's website, getalifemedia.com. I encourage you to check out some of the videos he's got posted there, lots of them you can watch at no cost at all, or you can order some of his products at getalifemedia.com. Pastor Billy Crone, thank you for being with me this segment and for clarifying. I'm in agreement with you. I want it to happen perhaps today. I don't want to wait until the end of September. We may wait many, many years yet. We don't know. But the date setting is truly, truly troubling. And it's sort of like, here we go again, because it's happened so many times in the past. And then everybody sits around. I mean, you know, it's just plain embarrassing. Let's be honest. It's embarrassing that we have people in the eschatological community willing to do that. Again, thank you for joining me. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Jim. God bless.
Okay.
Thank you for being a faithful listener to Understanding the Times Radio. This program is growing in popularity because people want to hear the truth. We try to bring you programming every week that's biblically based and equips you to be prepared and waiting for our Lord's return. Your participation with us is critical. Without your prayer and financial support, we could not continue on this station or on the internet. We invite you to become our ministry partner We welcome your tax-deductible gifts donated online at olivetreeviews.org or when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Gifts are accepted by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. You can order an audio recording of today's broadcast at that same number, 763-559-4444. Eric Barger and Jill Martin Rishi are next with an insightful conversation about the nature of evil in today's world. Jan will be right back. It's not too early to make plans to attend Understanding the Times 2017, Saturday, October 7, just outside of Minneapolis. Join us at Grace Church in Eden Prairie from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's no cost or registration needed. You can spend the day with like-minded believers who don't think it's strange that you want to understand the times and also discern the times of Bible prophecy. Speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Our book, the Bible, contains 29% future events. 29% of this book is Bible prophecy. God wants us to know even the future.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
So I don't believe in we should scoff at signs. I don't believe we should be reckless speculators, but I do believe that signs of the times are important and that we live in a time today when the stage is being set.
Pastor J.D. Farag from Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii.
Jerusalem, as Joel Rosenberg calls it, is the epicenter. It is the second hand on God's prophetic clock. You want to know what time it is in terms of Bible prophecy? Look at Jerusalem.
Michelle Bachman.
Jesus Christ is coming back. We, in our lifetimes, potentially could see Jesus Christ returning to earth, the rapture of the church. This is one of the most exciting times in history. We need to be exactly watching the tenor of the times, be observing, and look up our redemption draweth nigh.
Hotel information is posted at our website, olivetreeviews.org, or call us for complete details at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We have promised that we'll keep talking about today, but always with an eye on tomorrow and the hope of His return.
As WorldNet Daily reports, exorcists, witches, and occultists in a number of magical groups are announcing plans for a ritual designed to bind Donald Trump and all who abet him. The rite, requiring a stub of a candle, a pin, salt matches, a tarot card, a feather, and other odds and ends, calls on spirits to ensure President Trump will fail utterly. It also includes burning a picture of the commander-in-chief, visualizing him blowing apart into dust or ash.
Jan Markell likes to keep Understanding the Times relevant with topics that affect your everyday life or topics to help keep you prepared while biblical prophecy continues to unfold around the world. Co-host Eric Barger and Jill Martin Rishi join Jan now to discuss relevant issues on the topic of evil. Here again is Jan Markell.
What do we do as the church when we start to see evil going mainstream? Now, the Bible says that in the last days, evil is going to wax worse and worse, 2 Timothy 3:13. And as you know, if you listen to this program, I have been an occult watcher since the movement deceived me as a college student. And fortunately, I saw the disaster with which I was flirting and was set free. But today's dark world is proliferating and is frightfully dangerous. And I guarantee you that it's trying to encroach either on you or on somebody that means a lot to you. And as a matter of fact, how many of you know that witches are uniting, often once a month anyway, to do their incantations to rid the world of President Trump? I mean, they meet again here in late May to do some demonic rituals. And so I asked paranormal expert Jill Martin Rishi to be a guest columnist of mine recently, and she wrote a very cutting-edge article titled When the Spirit of the Age Has a Cosmic Tantrum. I'll tell you where you can find that online. It's also in my print newsletter for spring. So I want to play off of that here for a few minutes in this hour. And Jill, thank you for being in studio with me today to talk about this.
Thanks, Dan.
Eric Barger also joins me in studio, and he's got a tremendous little book we can refer to a little bit later as well. And Jill, you say this, you say in this article, and we can't read the whole article, but you say, who could imagine that witches cursing Donald Trump would be a top headline on Fox News, the Drudge Report, and other places, many media outlets, and they'd actually print the spell with handy hints on how to curse your president. Now, as an occult watcher, and you have a 700-page book on the occult, did you ever think you would live to see this kind of activity? And again, in headlines.
No, this is so far above and beyond what I've seen that I can remember in my lifetime. It's evil at its worst. And that's why the whole tantrum, the thought of the tantrum, came to me, because it seemed as if it had been frustrated, evil had been frustrated, evil had been stopped, however temporarily. Evil had been circumvented, Israel had been protected, and Israel's head was on the block.
And this is in the election back in November.
Yes, Israel's head was on the block in the UN. They were going after her. When I started to read the details of just how they were going after her, this was not something that could be brushed aside. They were going after her to stop her, to strip away all protections from her. And God, I believe, stepped in and intervened. And that is something that Satan cannot tolerate.
Well, God stepped in to intervene the antics of the left. And the result is a level, as you write, it's a level of hatred most of us have not seen in our lifetimes. You say it's off the charts, it's foul mouth, it's irrational, it's violent. Again, just turn on Fox News, turn anything on online. The antics of the left are so out of control. Eric, they seemingly are spurred on by George Soros. They're spurred on by the globalist, socialist, Marxist outfits. They're spurred on by people who are actually being paid about $15 an hour to conduct these antics.
Mm-hmm. It's a kind of thing where strange bedfellows have gotten together. But the problem is, in this case, I think strange bedfellows might become one. And a lot of people who have not thought about using spiritual means in their political views, mm-hmm. folks, I have heard the audio of one of these covens meeting and what they're saying. It is stunning. If it doesn't make us stop and examine how much time we've spent in prayer for those in our government, and what we have is not perfect by any means.
Yeah,
we'd all agree with that. It is certainly different. Right now, the situation is completely different than it would have been had the election been decided the other way. I want to comment on what Jill said, and then I'll be quiet here. She said she was surprised, she was shocked, she never would have seen this coming. These days, I don't know what's coming next. I used to have at least a barometer, an idea of what would be next. These days, this has come so fast. The way our culture has changed, it has lots of spiritual ramifications in the background that Christians should be aware of.
I want to play this little Fox News clip, minute and 33 seconds, and basically it's just reporting on these witches who are meeting, I believe it's a crescent moon, February, April, May. I'm not sure if they're going into the summer. They probably are. Play that little clip.
President Donald Trump is facing a worldwide witch hunt, not from the media or Democrats, but witches. According to Extra Newsfeed, magical groups are casting a binding spell over Trump and all those who abet him until he and his accomplices are removed from office. Some of the ingredients to perform the spell include an unflattering photo of Trump, the Tower Tarot card, a tiny stub of an orange candle or orange carrot, and multiple items representing the elements of fire, water, earth, and air. Preparation for the binding spell include writing Donald J. Trump on the orange candle stub with a pin or nail, and say a prayer for protection and invoke blessing from your preferred spirit or deity. The actual spell reads in part, quote, "Hear me, O spirits of water, earth, fire, and air, heavenly host, demons of the infernal realms, and spirits of the ancestors, I call upon you to bind Donald J. Trump, so that he may fail utterly, so that he may do no harm to any human soul, nor any tree, animal, rock, stream, or sea. Bind him so that he shall not break our polity, usurp our liberty, or fill our minds with hate, confusion, fear, or despair. And bind, too, all those who enable his wickedness, and those whose mouths speak his poisonous lies. For the spell to work, it must be cast at the stroke of midnight on every waning crescent moon until he's no longer president. authors of the spell note that it shall not bring harm to the current president, but only prevent Trump from harming others. For Fox News, I'm Rob Demetrius.
Again, that was just a clip reporting on the fact that witches around the world have united to come against not just Donald J. Trump, but also all of those who support him, and they say who are speaking his poisonous lies, not wanting to harm President Trump, they say, but to prevent him from harming others. That's what the witches are saying. Now, when in the history of at least the last 200-300 years has something like this gone on? And Jill, you're an expert at this. Maybe this has been going on, and it's just not been as prominent. It's not come to the forefront as it has, because they're, for Pete's sakes, they're camping outside of Trump Plaza in New York City, lighting their candles, doing their shtick. Mm-hmm. So maybe they've been doing it in the quiet places, dark places, and we just haven't known it for the last 100 years.
Oh, yes. I know. One thing that's really interesting I just wanted to point out real quick is that, yeah, they have that little phrase in there that they use, that it won't do any harm to him. That's because they believe in the threefold law, and that is that everything they do will come back to them, whether positive or negative, could boomerang back on them. So they have to protect themselves there and say, mm-hmm. we don't wish any physical harm on Donald Trump. So there's just a little bit of deception there. But yeah, okay. this has always been happening. I think that's why God is so strong in what he says in the scripture. This is an abomination in his sight. It's accessing dark powers, trying to access dark powers, directly coming against God. And he's taking this very seriously. So yeah, I mean, have we seen this level of attack on God in the headlines like this? Have we seen it on the news like this, on cable news everywhere? No, I don't think it's reached this point.
It was headlines on Drudge.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's viewed by, I think,
With instructions on how to do it.
And Jill, you say in this article, and this is what we're playing off of, this segment here, make no mistake, this is war. Mm-hmm. It will not get better. It will not go away. And we are all in it. The spirit of the age cannot be ignored. What do you mean by that?
There is a spirit of this age. This world is dominated by a supernatural force that is a focused and an intelligent evil. It knows humanity very well because it's been fighting us for centuries. So it knows us. This is spiritual warfare, and we are at a disadvantage unless we belong to someone far greater, which we do, 1 John 4:4. That gives us the advantage, and we can fight, and they will run away from us.
You know, we may not have an encounter at a high place with the 450 false prophets of Baal, and there may not be kindling of wood set up and then water poured on it, but we'll find out who's praying. And that's the key, that Christians need to come alive here and take seriously the call to pray, that God has a plan and purpose still for America. And the plan, I believe, is that we will once again be a lighthouse for the gospel as we have been in the past, and it would not be negated until his time for evangelism on the earth is finished.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. We're spending a couple of segments talking about, well, we're talking about Satan having sort of a cosmic tantrum. And it's an article Jill wrote for my e-newsletter and print newsletter. I consider both my co-hosts today, co-guests, as experts on all the things that are dark. I consider them an expert on when evil goes mainstream, and that's what we're basically talking about for these segments. Evil has gone mainstream, and Jill, you start to document that in this article, and you say, let's consider how Lucifer is demonstrating his cosmic tantrum. Now, you've got all sorts of bullet points. We're not going to get to them all. Folks, you can find this article, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to e-alerts. That's the same thing as e-newsletter, e-alerts. And when the spirit of the age has a cosmic tantrum, the rise of the Satanic Temple, carefully cloaked in atheism and designed to gut Christianity in the schools and courts of America, now gloats in mainstream media stories. Whoever would have imagined after-school Satan clubs?
Yes, and who would have imagined that was fast-tracked through the IRS? So, I mean, you know, for their nonprofit status. So this is what I mean about how it's been ratcheted up. The level of evil has been bumped up. It's becoming actually much more visible. Usually Satan hides and tries to persuade people on a more scaled down level. The name Satan has been linked in the past to everything dark. Well, what the Satanic Temple is doing is trying to link it to reason, to science. And they're saying that's what they want to teach these kids in the schools.
Eric, the Arch of Baal, or Baal, has been celebrated in several cities around the world. Now, this is a symbol of evil throughout history. And now it's being honored. It was honored, I believe, in London. It was honored, I think, in Dubai. It was supposed to be honored in New York City. I don't know if that ever happened or not.
It's the Isaiah 5:20-21 that we've talked about so often. The mm-hmm. evil has become good, and good is now being called evil and promoted around us. And who knows what's next? Like I said, I've kind of thought to myself, you know, as fast as these things have come, you really wonder what will be the next thing on the horizon that Satan will bring out. And by the way, I live in the county
yes.
where the after-school Satan Club
yes.
group that Jill mentioned got their tax-exempt status so quickly. Mm-hmm. I live in that county.
Eric and Jill, a year ago, June 1st, I covered this online. I wrote about it. I sent pictures out about it. Several of Europe's leaders attended the dedication of the Gotthard Base Tunnel in Switzerland. I don't know if they knew it or not, but they saw 6 hours of a satanic ceremony televised around the world. The pictures, I sometimes regret I have radio here and not television, because I can't show some of these incredible pictures, including pictures of Germany's Merkel, France's Hollande, other world leaders who were just admiring and enjoying a satanic ceremony. I don't know if they knew it or not.
Yeah, I know. And you have to ask yourself, how do you miss a pantomime of human sacrifice? How does that go by you as something good? You know, these world leaders, I don't believe any of them really commented on what they had seen.
Goat man.
Long horns. He looked demon-like. People bowing to him, nudity. I mean, just mm-hmm. bizarre, twisted things that they just had absolutely no comment on. A fake plastic lamb that was, you know, in essence dead, and it was carried around the stage
yep.
by a woman holding a wooden cross. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these connections.
It's mainstream.
Lamb,
it's mainstream.
Cross. You can't get any more mainstream than that. It's broadcast all over the world.
Yeah.
Evil hiding in plain sight yeah. on a world stage in Switzerland.
Exactly. This is not the Sound of Music, folks.
No.
Uh-uh.
And folks, it's affecting you as we speak. It's affecting you. You may think this is just some dark stuff that is not relevant in your world. If it's not affecting you directly, it's affecting somebody you love very much. Here's what's exploded off the chart, and that's Wicca. I want to play a quick soundbite here talking about the explosion, how Wicca is now mainstream, and then we'll have to comment on it on the other side of my break.
And I noticed that this woman had a star, a five-pointed star around her neck, a necklace, which is called a pentacle or a pentagram. Now, whether she was a practicing witch or not, I can't say, but I can say that in case you haven't noticed, it is a fact that kids and teenagers and young adults all across the United States and around the world are getting more and more involved in what is now being called Wicca witchcraft. It's also called the old religion or the craft. More and more kids are visiting popular witchcraft websites, and believe it or not, there is a ton of them out there. There's more than you want to know about. They are buying spell books either in bookstores or on the internet. They are mixing potions, joining covens, and practicing magic. This was actually noticed, especially by the media, in the year 2004. A major article, or not an article, but this was a news story that was reported across the country from National Public Radio. I've got it right here, at least the clipping, and it was called Teens and Wicca, May 13, 2004. Right after that, another article came out in a publication called Religion Link. This was for reporters across the country, October 11, 2004, and this was called Wicca Moves into the Mainstream. And then another story came out on beliefnet.com, which is a major website that deals with all kinds of current religious issues, and it was called The Witch Next Door, and it just talked about the popularity of Wicca witchcraft. Here is a book on the screen called Rocking the Goddess. The subtitle there is Campus Wicca for the Student Practitioner by Anthony Page. And it says there, and this is from the back cover, that Wicca witchcraft is the fastest, or could be the fastest growing religion in America, and it is thriving now on college campuses. I remember when I was in high school and when I was in college a number of years ago, I heard about a lot of different things. I mean, when I went to North Hollywood High School, and there was a lot of drugs on campus. We talked about gangs, but we never talked about witchcraft. Never did. But times have changed, and witchcraft is definitely a topic of discussion on college campuses across the country. Lots of people are getting into witchcraft these days. Doctors, lawyers, salespeople, mechanics, teachers, students, CEOs, secretaries, housewives, just about anybody. Anybody. I don't know if I ask you, how many of you have met people that are involved in Wicca? Let me see your hands. Any hands out there? Okay, I see a few. Whether you know that you've met someone practicing witchcraft or not, you probably have. You just don't know it. Witchcraft is strong right now in the military. There's an organization called the Pagan Military Network. It's strong in the United States government. Wicca witchcraft is recognized officially by the federal government as a legitimate religion. It's strong on high school and college campuses.
Point being, evil has gone mainstream. That's all I can say. And that's why we're talking about it, folks. We're also going to talk about a whole lot better news, because we have victory over this, and we need to talk about that in our next segment. It's sort of a call to action. What can you do? You may be feeling absolutely helpless. Well, no, that's not the case. We're trying to give some illustrations of how this has exploded in the last probably 15, 20 years or so. Jill has an outstanding encyclopedia of the occult, The Kingdom of the Occult. You have to find that at WalterMartin.com, WalterMartin.com. Eric Barger has an outstanding little book called Entertaining Spirits Unaware. Find that at EricBarger.com. We're not carrying the books, so you have to go to their respective websites. We'll pick up on this on the other side of a break. We'll bring a little bit more positive information as we conclude in the next segment. Don't go away.
Olive Tree Ministries has published an End Times Bible study that your church or small group would benefit from. Here's Jan to tell you more.
And folks, this ministry has written a little end time study guide, Are We Living in the Last Days? For your neighborhood group in your church interested in these topics, you can cover it in 12 weeks. It's got built-in questions in the study guide. Check it out in my store, olivetreeviews.org. It's in all of my newsletters, print and e-newsletters, or give my office a call. It's $9 for one copy. You can get 10 copies for $60. And those who have an interest in this topic, you can just have a 12-week study, and it's not detailed, it's not complicated.
Understanding the Times Radio likes to keep in touch with you. One of the ways we do that, our website, olivetreeviews.org. At olivetreeviews.org, you can sign up for our free newsletter, e-news alerts, news headlines, and much more. You can help keep programming like today's broadcast coming to your neighborhood when you give securely online. Want more details about our next fall conference, our location, our speakers, their bios, for out-of-town guests, available hotels? All that information on the October 7th event is available at olivetreeviews.org. Would you like to receive all our weekly programming on CD? Subscriber information is yours when you phone 763-559-4444. And we get our mail at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Jen returns right after this.
I have often called Understanding the Times Radio, Radio for the Remnant. Around the world, people have had enough of fake news, slanted news, and evidence that good people are marginalized and unappreciated. That is why this program focuses on the truth and the ultimate good news. If you would like to keep it coming to your neighborhood, please consider a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries. Give online at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can call us business hours, Central Time, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or just drop us a note. If you can't financially support, let us know. We make a difference in your life. Write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Help us look at today, but with another eye on tomorrow and the ultimate hope that awaits us. This is Jan Markell, and our mission as a ministry calls believers to think beyond the news to see how the truth is being dismissed and rejected. Today, when many broadcasters are talking about safety, we are talking about the loss of truth. Thanks for joining me here on this radio station.
Now, let's wrap up Jan's discussion with Eric and Jill on today's Understanding the Times. Once again, Jan Markell.
Good afternoon. I'm still reporting on, dare I say it, Satan. According to Judicial Watch, as per yesterday's Breitbart, at the same time that Lois Lerner of IRS fame was slow walking the 501c3 applications for conservatives and Christian groups across the nation, the IRS was fast-tracking an after-school Satan club in Tacoma, Washington. The after-school Satanist club of the Point Defiance Elementary School applied for 501c3 tax-exempt status on October 21, 2014, and the IRS approved it 10 days later, ironically, on October 31, 2014.
And welcome back. And my in-studio guests and I today are talking about the spirit of the age, how evil has gone mainstream. Well, we're not going to leave it there. We're going to talk about some more inspirational issues concerning that, how we can sort of fight back. You can get a CD of any program, become a CD subscriber, call us on that. You get a CD of every program that we do. If you send a gift to us, please tell us what station you listen to so we can credit that properly. We're now on well over 800 stations, and we try to credit our gifts properly. Jill Martin Rishi in studio. She manages our social media, Facebook. Follow us at Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries. Follow us on Twitter at Olive Tree Men. Eric Barger is in studio with me as well. They both certainly are experts on the topic that we are talking about. Eric Barger, what do we do when our children or grandchildren suddenly fall into some of the things that we talked about Wicca today? We're talking about things that are very dark, and they're gobbling up lots of people, heavily young people, but not exclusively. What do the parents and grandparents do?
You know, Jan, Satan loves to see people work stymied in the unknown or working without knowledge. So I think to understand these things is paramount. From the Christian viewpoint, I discourage people from reading occult books themselves. Mm-hmm. But I think that a number of us who have been called by God and who are protected to do so have produced information so people can get understanding. I would say the first thing is preview what your children are watching, listening to, playing with, those things. And when I say children, if they're living in our home, I think we do have a right to understand and know, because we're all going to be affected by the things that one person may be doing if it's that stuff. So preview, communicate, use scripture. It's the final authority. Talk to them, dialogue about what this means. And if somebody's involved with these things, what it means, not only just for eternity, and that's the most important thing, but what happens here on the earth. Next, spiritual warfare. And really that is really praying and praying against these things. I've told people for a long time that praying against something is a very positive thing if you're praying against evil. And as we pray, not only for God to move, but also we pray against the forces of darkness. I would encourage people not to go on a search and destroy mission in your child's room necessarily as the first line of defense or offense, but helping them make godly decisions is what we want, that they come to us and say, I don't want these influences in my life. I understand now more after we talked. You know, that's the outcome we're looking for. And then just receive God's grace. If we allowed this stuff into our homes or allowed influences like this, we can't change the past, but we can change tomorrow. We can change the way we operate and then take action. Philippians 3:13 is a great reference there.
Yeah, great resource is Eric's book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, about the End Time Occult Revival. Eric Barger. .com. That's the place to get it. Not Olive Tree at this point in time, but ericbarger.com. Highly recommended, as well as Jill's encyclopedia, The Kingdom of the Occult, 700-page book. Every imaginable occult type of expression, I think, known to man throughout history, Jill has outlined in that book. Jill, you give some illustrations, too, about how to sort of fight back, how to counter, you call it a call to action. What can you do? Clearly, some listeners are thinking, they may even feel overwhelmed with what they've heard, particularly the intensity of what they've heard. My goodness, we have a pagan military network. We have all of this recognized by the government of America as an official religion. You know, I mean, we've been emphasizing here, this is now mainstream. This isn't something that happens on a Saturday night in a dark room. So this is totally out in the open. Doctors, lawyers, all sorts of professionals now engaged in what we're talking about. And you have a call to action. And we also talk about, I mean, spiritual warfare is so important. But one thing you've suggested, you suggest, as it concerns the after-school Satan clubs, fight back and start a good news club.
Absolutely. There you have it. You have one good, solid way to spread the gospel. And I love what my father, Dr. Walter Martin, said. And to me, it puts it in perspective, which is it is imperative that we return to the biblical standard of righteousness. It is righteous to preach Jesus Christ. It is righteous to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. It is righteous. It is holy. It is just. And it is good to stand against the prince of darkness. And that's what you would be doing, taking a direct stand in your school, in your neighborhood.
And you say social media is a powerful tool and you can use it. Get on Facebook and set up a new page targeting some kind of evil you hate. You say approach people with love and a good measure of biblical wisdom and tell God you can't wait to see what he will do. There is something for everyone, some action you can take, and you will be fighting the good fight, blessing others, and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you manage our social media, and this is a good idea. Not everyone feels equipped to start something like this on Facebook, Twitter, because now there's Instagram and all sorts of other things as well.
Well, you know, one really big thing, and I know that the people on Facebook, I love all of you, by the way. It's so much fun and wonderful to talk to you and hear from you. One really great thing you could do is say, Jesus is coming back for us. We have hope here. Mm-hmm. So if, say, you started a Facebook page, Jesus is coming back for us, and on there you start talking about certain things that are happening in the world today. What can we do about the mess, Christian? There you go. You have a Facebook group, and you ask God to help you build your outreach for that group where you're talking about things that are happening today. That's just one thing. You can talk about Wicca in the schools. You can talk about the suicide epidemic. There are kids across this nation killing themselves because they are deeply involved in the occult, in Wicca, in witchcraft, in casting spells. I know some personally who have been involved in that and have literally been at the brink of death because of it. And I know out there are many of you who know them too. So you can reach out on Facebook. You can take a stand on anything that God lays on your heart. And if you are doing what he wants you to do by standing for the faith, he will come and he will help you.
Eric Barger, the thing that is so serious about this topic is that the Bible speaks so plainly about the evils of the occult. Deuteronomy 18 lists all the things that are forbidden, and there's a lineup of things that are forbidden that, again, today as we speak, are mainstream.
And you know, Jan, I remember at least one program that we've done in sometimes past. It was probably a program where you interviewed me about entertaining spirits unaware. But I brought out in that program, and I also do it in my seminar series when I go out and speak on this, that the word abomination that Jill mentioned earlier, that word is the strongest language God uses anywhere in the Bible. It comes right out of his mouth when he condemns the world of the occult. There's 9 forbidden practices that are mentioned there in Deuteronomy 18. There are actually 9 of the first 10 chapters in my book. That should really give us pause, because that word, it is the strongest word that can be used. This is God's, not opinion, this is his standard. It must be our standard too, and I hope Christians would take that seriously.
Spiritual warfare, Jill, so important.
Well,
I'm not sure the churches are teaching it, but it is important.
Well, the Bible teaches it's real.
That's right.
All we have to do is read Ephesians. Sit down and read the entire book of Ephesians, not just the part where it talks about specifically how Satan prowls around like a roaring lion,
right,
seeking whom he may devour. There is an invisible enemy that God tells us we must fight. It is a wonderful thing to share the gospel, but the handmaiden of evangelism is apologetics, the defense of the faith, and we are all required to do it.
Let me say that when they're done with Ephesians, go to the book of Mark.
Yes.
And those two books just show you this is not something we can ignore as Christians because we think it's negative or unseemly or whatever.
And Jill, you write, we are the winners. We carry the flag of the king on the battlefield, rallying the troops to him in the face of the enemy's rage. It is vital to put on the whole armor of God, get out there and fight. Would you recommend daily people getting up in the morning and literally putting on that armor of God?
For me, putting on the armor of God is spending time talking with him. And, you know, I'm not saying that God will communicate spiritual telegrams and tell you things to do. But a lot of times I read my scripture. I pray over the scripture I read. I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me. I study his word. I ask him to open doors for me. I sit and talk with him and just wait in silence for that peace and that love that fills me, that sense of direction. So there are many things you can do, spending time with God, studying his word, reaching out to be your church. Mm-hmm. How can you help in your church? How can you be involved in teaching or in listening and learning? How can you be involved in serving? All these things are vitally important. And as you grow, God will continue to use you if you're following and believing and trusting him.
And you say, don't fall for this satanic lie that you are weak or a failure or too sinful to do anything for God. He loves you, forgives you, and he will use you today. Go forward and don't look back. That is important because some people are caught up in guilt and feel that they're just not qualified to do this.
Well, our hearts beat us to a pulp, really, if you think about it. Our hearts are always telling us how terrible we are, how bad we are, and bringing up all the bad things we've ever done and said. And so, you know, when we hear about that in Jeremiah, how wicked the heart of man is. So what I do is I ask the Lord to please remind me of the good things I've done and where he's been pleased with me. And it's a comfort, a great comfort.
You know, ladies, I can't help but think that as we close this segment, that there's probably somebody listening right now who realize that they're not in a relationship with God and they don't know Jesus. If you turn your heart to him and simply surrender to him and repent of your sins and invite him into your life and with your own words, there are no special words to say, but just say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. If that's you and you need that today, do it. Don't wait. Don't put it off. It doesn't get easier and darkness doesn't get lighter. This is the time right now to do it. And we don't say that very often here, but I really sense there's somebody out there listening right now that's where they've been at, and they know they need to turn to him. Listen, there's nothing that you have done that is too evil for God to forgive.
Thank you, Eric Barger, Joe Martin Rishi. Folks, want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to reach the world by reporting current events from a biblical perspective, costing us thousands of dollars. This listener-supported program is delivered each weekend nationwide and into your home. You can help us produce and distribute this broadcast. We invite you to partner with this ministry. With our ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to be aware of current events as reported and discussed through the lens of Scripture. With a blessed hope in view, each week Jan Markell brings you compelling guest interviews to highlight the dangers in today's world. To become our broadcast partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also help underwrite this program safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org or when you phone 763-559-4444. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week, and please continue to pray for the Olive Tree Ministries team. For daily global updates with a biblical worldview, 24 hours a day, log on to olivetreeviews.org. Next week, Jan returns with another program designed to help you understand the times.